This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Double play at 3:45, Beltway Blitz at 4, and we're going to talk about shoveling snow in the 4 o'clock hour. I promise you it's more intriguing than that. Maybe not much, but a little bit more. We have a Kurt Angle on it. Mark Zuckerman joins the show at 5. So that is that. Here's the topic at the moment. So there's a lot of trade banter floating around. And welcome back. It's Grant Nanny here on The Fan. Toby in for GP. There's a lot of trade banter ootin' a boot here, Tobes. And one of the things that I'm always hoping for, and it's always unrealistic, right? But I'm always hoping for, hey, what if they took a player back and considered it part of the compensation that I'm not really that excited about having anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the dream, right? Where it's like, take the guy on the expiring deal or the persona non grata.
The thing you do in Madden, throw the dude in that you don't want.
One of my best buddies in the world, we can't play fantasy sports together anymore because he wears you down with trade offers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he'd be like, just, you know, take Rudy Johnson and like three other guys just for LaDainian Tomlinson. I'm like, no, I'm not doing any of that. I don't want any of these guys.
He's telling you how great they are while he's trying to get rid of them.
Yes. I wouldn't pick these guys to be the waiver wire, let alone trade away from my best player. Anyway, so Myles Garrett may or may not be available. Cleveland has said no, but again, there's still buzz around there. He wants to leave. Think of T. Higgins with the sign and trade via the franchise tag. Think of, who knows, what's Trey Hendrickson. There's a million players. Deebo Samuel's coming up. Where maybe via the right price. Let's just say that the other team goes, for the sake of argument, to you, Tobes. Toby Peters, we love Daron Payne. We love him. We want him as part of the deal, and it'll save you the pick sweetener on mm-hmm. the back end. You don't have to give us a second. It will take Daron Payne from you, right? That could be part of a deal. And so it got us to thinking, who's on your list of you can't have that guy? Who's on your list, and how big is your list? And this is kind of getting me to an interesting point. I want to hear from you first, but 800-636-1067 is the number. 800-636-1067. Who's on your MC Hammer list? Who's on your can't touch list? Thank you very much.
I think there's only, and this speaks to how good of a job the coaching staff and the players maximizing their ability did this year. I think there's only like four guys for me. I think there's only four. Jaden's obviously at the top of that list.
Sure,
I think we all understand that. Terry would be on the list. I think that's understandable. And then there's been two dudes that I've seen various people throw around in potential Myles Garrett trades that I would immediately say no on, and I would throw in an extra pick so I could keep them. Frankie Louvu is unavailable to me. He's a chess piece. He's a Micah Parsons-style player without the Micah Parsons baggage and without the Micah Parsons price tag. And he's a great leader in that locker room. So to me, Frankie Louvu is untouchable. I've seen people float him around for Myles Garrett. I'll throw you another pick. I'm keeping Frankie Louvu because I think he's that impactful. He was a second-team All-Pro this year. Really, really good player. He's untouchable to me. And then the next one would be Mikey Sanders still. I've seen people throw his name around. He's not available to me. He looks like he could be a legit corner. And whether he ends up outside, which I think they're going to kick him back inside, but I thought he played reasonably well outside this mm-hmm. year. Regardless, when you get a guy like that, especially as a second rounder with a price tag, he's not available. He looks like he could be a legit nickel defender for a long time. A guy like a Mike Hilton or someone like that who is impactful for that Bengals defense for a long time. I think he can play that sort of role, or he can be your number two corner for a long time. You've got three more years of cheap play from him. He's not available to me. So that kind of is the list for me. Like, you look at, we talked about Payne and Allen yesterday. I'll part with either or both of them. You look at some of the other impactful players. I don't know that it's, you can't have that guy for Myles Garrett. To me, it's only four dudes that I'm saying, if you're saying, give me the best player available, which would be Myles Garrett, I'll throw in an extra pick. I'm keeping these four guys.
800-636-1067. That's Toby's list. Okay. So, all right. I've got a pretty significant list here as I was starting to think about it.
Interesting. Okay.
Here we go. You ready? Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. That's the end of my list. And I tell you what, I love little Terry as much as the next guy. I don't know what scenario would happen, but if somebody said, like, for sake of argument, let's say Minnesota, something, the yeah. craziest thing in the world happens, they go, we're actually going to move Justin Jefferson. They wouldn't, but bear with me. Well, we could do it for, I don't know, next year's one and Terry McLaurin, so we have someone to build around and help us in the next couple of years transition to this new regime mm-hmm. or something. For Justin Jefferson. Okay. Like, I love Terry. But yeah. to sit, like, there is nobody right now in the league where I would go, yeah, you can have Jaden Daniels.
Correct.
Right? I mean, even the best that are doing it, I would not trade him for anybody. That which says something, right? For McLaurin, to say he's untradeable, any realistic scenario, no, he's not tradable. But it's not if, like, I don't know, I gotta make it up a name. If Calvin Ridley's available, then no, pound sand. You're not having Terry McLaurin. But if Jamar Chase is,
yeah,
he wouldn't be, but if he was, right? Or, I don't know, you could, if CeeDee Lamb or A.J. Brown, maybe A.J. Brown. But you see my point. So very few scenarios. But I'll say for realistic scenarios, McLaurin's untradeable. That's my list. I like all the guys you mentioned. I love Bobby Wagner. I love Dante Fowler, what he did. He's a free agent. But Frankie Louvu was awesome. Nobody here outside of those two guys, to me, is untradeable. Knowing, with kind of the full-fledged understanding, if I'm going to get better, I have to do a couple of things. I may have to give something that hurts. People should treat it as painful to give up that first rounder, painful to give up that second mm-hmm. rounder, but you got to give to get. Number two, I've got to trust, the brain trust, to go, I'll find the next Louvu. It's not like Frankie Louvu signed for $25 million a year, right? The film was available to anybody. They saw him in Carolina for a dreadful team, floundering, going nowhere, and that guy played really, really well in this Swiss Army knife role, and they had him come up and do the same. To me, the premium position guys, like, depends on your city, depends on your team, depends on your guy. But if I've got a great left tackle, it's going to take an awful lot for him to move for me. See Trent Williams going to San Francisco and having a bunch of great years afterwards.
Yeah.
It would take the craziest set of circumstances to happen, and that's what happened. I'm not moving off a superstar receiver that's really good and a good citizen, not complaining and kvetching and moaning all the time. And I'm certainly not moving my great quarterback. Other than that, if we had an alpha superstar corner, Sauce Gardner, you'd be hard-pressed to include me, to have him included in deal. You'd be hard-pressed to include a great defensive end like a Myles Garrett, right, under contract in his
sure.
prime. Other than that, I got to find my next Louvu. And if I can't, I'll just find a dependable stay-at-home linebacker as I've built four werewolves up front to go get the quarterback. Like, to me, that's easier to find than one of the superstars at a premium position. If that's what I'm getting in return, everybody's on the table. It would suck to trade Frankie Louvu away. I would not like it. I wouldn't be happy about it. Some way, it would suck to get rid of a second rounder. It would stink on ice to trade away a first round pick for one of these dudes. Again, I don't think most are worth it. Garrett would be. And that should be painful because you're acquiring somebody so special.
Right. But it's so hard, you know, and maybe the better exercise here with this too, Danny, is who has value? Like, which of these guys has value in trade? Because I say take Louvu and Sandra still off the board. If I'm the Cleveland Browns and I'm saying, okay, I want a one, and Washington says, I'm not giving you two ones, right? I'll give you a one and a three and a player. Which player am I asking for? I'm probably asking for Sandra still. Mm-hmm. I'm probably asking for Louvu. Do I really want Daron Payne? Do I really want John Allen? Maybe Brandon Coleman would have some trade value. Is someone really that excited about Luke McCaffrey? No one's really that excited about Ben Sinnott. I mean, you look through this team. Again, it's a credit to what they were able to accomplish this season. It's not like there's a ton of guys that everyone around the league's like, you know what? We need Noah Brown back. We need De'Ami Brown. Like, I know those guys are free agents, but like, there's not right. a ton. And so maybe to your point, Jaden's untouchable. We know that. Terry, in just about every circumstance, is untouchable. But if you really want to go get your guy, you don't have other dudes with value. You might have to trade one of those dudes on the defensive side.
So this is such a good point here that you're making. And I, Grant and I have argued about this a bunch. He thinks the roster is more talented than I do. I look at what you just said, and this is kind of my whole point here, is punch above your weight class doesn't begin to cover it. What they just did with guys that nobody else wanted, playing key roles,
mm-hmm.
not the you know, special team Sammy, not your Michael Walker, not Alan George or, you know, Andre Jones Jr. as a rotational defensive end,
yeah.
But starters. No one really was that interested in Cleveland Farrell, Dorrance Armstrong, Dante Fowler. Dante Fowler signed for less money than Tress Way. Like, they just did this with readily available players that, I mean, Zach Ertz was basically out of football. Anybody could have signed him. And Washington was like, here's something. Fine. Huge down the stretch for them, getting him into the postseason, getting him into the damn conference championship game. You already mentioned Noah Brown was cut mm-hmm. by the aforementioned Houston Texans. Downey Brown has been available. Well, if anybody had offered anything over the last 4 years for Downey Brown, the answer may have not have been yes, because Ron drafted him. But you know what I mean? The point is, you're willing to give us something for that guy? You guys are going to give us something for Downey Brown. Oh, yeah, we need a lot. If you just come pick him up, it's yours. It's like a TV when you're moving
yeah.
that won't fit in your new apartment.
Yeah, yeah. Buy us dinner one time. You can have it.
Yes. Just, if you have something that can haul away my couch that had dust mites in it or something. Alameda Zacchaeus. I mean, I could go on. They just did that with that.
Well, and that goes back to our other point, what we talked about earlier. This is why you have to upgrade this roster. Like,
yes.
You like the guys, what they were able to do. Is Dante Fowler going to have another double-digit sack season? Maybe. Probably not. Like, I'm not going to count on it. Is Zach Ertz going to come back and do what he did this year? Maybe. Probably not. You can do that with just about everybody on the roster. And I saw a report today that Jeremy Chinn maybe is the most likely of the one-year guys to come back. That's fine. But, like, I don't know that a lot of these guys are going to be able to do it. So you have to improve. And mm-hmm. so that's through the draft. That's through free agency. And that's finding guys in smart ways to improve. And so I think, you know, maybe you have to include one of these dudes on the defensive side. I think Quan Martin maybe is someone that someone would be interested in. But, again, are you moving off people that you really are trying to build around? Maybe Sam Cosmi, but he's hurt. Like, I don't know that this team has a lot of value for guys in trades. So it's going to end up being draft picks. And then you have to decide if you're Adam Peters or, like we talked about, realistically, you've got a 5-year window. You're in year two. It's really easy coming off an NFC championship game appearance to say, let's go, baby. We're all in right now. Versus what happens if, okay, I trade my pick this year, next year, the next year, and all of a sudden, maybe we're not playing up to our standard, and we need to improve some places, and we don't have the draft capital anymore, and we've spent a lot in free agency, and that guy didn't pan out. So you have to be smart with these things where we're reactionary saying, let's go all in year two. Maybe you have to be a little more smart going into this season and looking ahead.
You can't pluck away too many culture guys.
Yes.
And kind of keep it going. You have to switch out some, and some are going to be gone regardless whether you want them to or not. Let's go to Vinny in Sea Pleasant, line one. Who's on your untouchable list, bud?
What's going on, fellas? How you feeling? I'm going to state the obvious. I'm going to go the easy route. It's got to be JD5 and Terry. I'm not going to give you a full list, but why would you give up your franchise quarterback, period? That's just
right.
Idiotic.
Done. Yeah, move on from
and,
that.
You know, that's not it. And Terry, why would you give up the only person basically, for real, on this team who production increases or elevates every season? That doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So, you can't touch Primetime 5, and you can't touch Scary Terry, not even a little bit. This is not a democracy. It's a footballocracy, and we're going to keep it rolling. Appreciate y'all, man.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, dude.
By the way, those two, I think, are the most important to the culture. Obviously, Jaden, we understand that with the talent, but I think he's obviously big, and I don't think Terry can go anywhere in terms of he might be the biggest dude in this organization outside of Jaden. Might be the biggest dude in this organization still with Jaden right now. So those two, to me, are the big culture guys as well.
Edwin in Virginia, line two. Who's on your untouchable list in a trade?
Hey, Danny.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, Gustos. Look, I'm a big fan of you guys, man. Even when you were in so-called North Bethesda, I came out to see you guys. You know, I'm a big fan, been a big fan for years.
Appreciate you.
But I feel like you guys have had this thing where you kind of disrespect Terry low-key, man. Because I remember the second, like week two or week three, you did this bit with Grant, where you were naming all these wide receivers that you could rather have over him. And you named like maybe eight people I've heard of. And then you went up to like 20 people or something, and I didn't like it at all. And to say that you would trade him, he's our captain. He's untradeable. I don't care how good Justin Jefferson is, you know. Terry's just as good, and he's a leader on this team. He has a lot of clout on this team. He's the kind of guy you need to have if we're supposed to build something, if we're supposed to become a champion. I mean, he's more than just what he's a great producer, but he's more than just his production, you know.
I hear that, Edwin. Let me ask you this, super quick. Would you rather have Ja'Marr Chase or Terry McLaurin?
I'd rather have Terry McLaurin. I'd rather have Terry McLaurin than Ja'Marr Chase.
Appreciate you, bud. So I understand that. You love Terry McLaurin. And this sounds like I'm ripping Terry McLaurin. I am not. When Terry McLaurin goes for 127 catches, 1,708 yards, and 17 touchdowns in a season, that's what Ja'Marr Chase just did.
Yes.
I'll be there clapping like a seal. I'll also be in line for hell freezing over. Like, I don't think that's the thing. And that's okay. I don't get mad at people for being really good. You see what I'm saying? Like, he's really good. It's okay to not be one of the two or three best receivers in the sport. I see your point, though.
To your point, Anthony Davis wasn't available until they called about Luka Doncic, right? Like, I'm not trading Terry unless they say, you know what? One of those dudes is available.
Right.
Like, he's not available until he is because of one of those guys.
So, I was doing, Edwin, and I appreciate the kind words. I'm not trying to rip you. The point of the dude's story here is to say, when I say untradeable, it's like a must win. I go, well, not technically a must win, but they better win it.
Yes.
It's sort of the same definition. There is a scenario that I would trade Terry McLaurin. It's not likely, and it's never happening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost not worth talking about. So then by that sort of expand the definition, he's not tradable to me. That's my list, is Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. Because there are quite literally is nobody that I would trade. If somebody called me about Mahomes for Jaden Daniels, I don't think I would do it.
No.
Right now. Because I got 4 years of the rookie deal, and Mahomes is the best in the world. I'm still not switching. Like, give me Jaden Daniels. I would swap McLaurin, as good as a dude as he is, and as awesome as he is, and as important as he is to this organization, for a handful of guys. That's it. That's not happening.
Yeah.
So to me, he's untradeable.
Yeah, I mean, Jaden is available for zero players in the National Football League. Terry is available for like three. And that's it.
Right.
Those three dudes are not available and will never be available, so it's not worth our time. It's not worth us discussing. So there's no one down on Terry. And I think to our point on this is those two are kind of the guys. You look at everyone else, the guys that are valuable, the guys that people would want. Maybe you have to consider those if you're going after the big names that might become available, because we're just early in the offseason. Miles Garrett's available. That's the big name, or at least he wants to be available. Maybe the Browns aren't shopping him. Who else could come up? We just learned about Jermaine Pratt. I know he's not a huge name, but he was a leading tackler for the Bengals this year. Who else could come up down the line if one of these big-time dudes comes available? Maybe you have to move off some of these guys. More than likely, it's not going to be someone big enough that you include Terry McLaurin.
I want to try to slide a slightly different angle into this when we come back. 800-636-1067. Who's on your untouchable list? I'd rather move on from a player than a draft pick guy. Now, once I get into the third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, whatever, take them. You know, we're going to reacquire. We'll do there'll be some comp picks. I mean, these guys are smart enough to manipulate this thing. So I would rather move on from a guy, for example, that's good for me than a draft pick. I want to get your angle on that and see if you guys feel the same way. 800-636-1067. Who's on your untouchable list for Washington in a trade? About 15 minutes from a double play here on G&D. Toby Altizer hanging out with me, Danny Ruye, for the duration. I'm at Funny Danny on Twitter. Toby, I believe, is Toby_Altizer. And Darius Tamrin is the_game836. And Toby, I just tweeted this out. You can follow me. Give me a look over there on Elon's app. It would be a shame. Like, it would be really upsetting to me, and I think a lot of other people, if people chirped Darius for never having seen Coming to America. Like, if his mentions were aflame with people that pointed out how absurd that is and how irresponsible it is, probably, frankly, that he's never seen it. Not so much you. Again, you're young. I respectfully sort of expect that from you to a degree. As what's his name? See, I'm old. I can't remember anybody's name anymore. As Owen Wilson said in Wedding Crashers, we're not that young. Talking about Darius. Not that young anymore. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You need to see Coming to America. So please don't tweet him about it. Don't chirp him. Don't make fun of him. Don't belittle him. See, Ryan, I'm doing a good corporate culture thing because Ryan's listening to this whole thing. Mm-hmm. He's got his pen and paper out, making sure nobody's harassing anybody. I'm saying don't do that.
Correct.
Don't harass Darius.
Do not.
Do not. Do not harass Darius about never having seen Coming to America.
Mm-hmm.
Don't. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to come up with a list moments ago of where it ranks for me among the funniest movies of all time. It's in the top 10. I mean, it's absolutely in the top 10. Where that's Eye of the Beholder. You know, when you start going into old school, you know, super comedies like everything from Caddyshack to Airplane to Dumb and Dumber, things like that. But Coming to America is in the 10. And Darius went, every day, Darius went, nope, not today. I woke up, alarm goes off. Today's the day I could see Coming to America. And you know what he did? He didn't see it. For years, decades, it's available anywhere, dude. Anywhere. That when they the remake featured a guy from DC named Jermaine Fowler who used to perform with, and the remake not as good. That's gonna happen. But dude, Coming to America, McDowell's. You don't know anything about McDowell's. You don't know anything about sexual chocolate. No file. Nothing. It's the best, Jerry. The best. Enough. Again, do not make fun of Darius about that. 800-636-1067. And don't call. And when you call in about our topic, and if you talk to Darius on the phone, don't mention it to him then either. Don't say anything about it. Just move on. Move past this glaring thing staring you right in the face. The topic of the moment, who's on your untouchable list? For Darius, unwatchable list would include Coming to America, apparently. But who's on your untouchable list in a trade? Mine is exhaustive. It's huge. It's ridiculous. It's Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin. Toby's is?
Same two guys, and then Sandra Still and Louvu on the defensive side of the ball.
Who's on yours? 800-636-1067. Andre Manassas has been very patient. Who's on your untouchable list in a trade?
First of all, Darius, you got no glow in your soul, man. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's...
He doesn't get it.
He doesn't get it. But I do.
Yeah, of course
soul
you do.
Glow.
Soul
anyhow,
glow.
I would say this. You know, the funny thing is, everybody's right. You know, Jaden Daniels is the only person that we would keep, which is, at the end of the day, it gives me pause. Because if you look at, you know, Philly up the street, they brought 15, 20 dudes that their fans would keep. And our team, there's only one dude we would keep. It does give me pause in terms of what the ownership and management needs to do in the next year or so. To make sure we are a winner. I mean, I don't want to be chasing the dragon and all of a sudden we find ourselves in a position that we've given up the farm only to attain maybe one or two more untouchable guys and we still have to play Philly. So I'm really interested to see what they're going to be doing for the rest of the year, for this offseason, how we're going to go about, you know, getting better. If and to your point, Dan, you said sometimes you may have to give up something. You may have, it's going to be painful. What if the pain is, you know what, guys? We had an incredible season last year, but we're going to build this team the right way. We're going to build through a draft, and, you know, maybe next year we don't make the playoffs.
Interesting. I appreciate that, Andre, because this happens all the time in sports. You can be better than you were the year before in a lot of ways and not have as good a record, especially in football when every week is kind of its own story. It happens in baseball all the time where a team is on better. Their Pythagorean win-loss is X, and they're three or four games worse, and people go, what happened? Yeah, sports happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it happens in hockey. It happens in basketball. I mean, it happens in every sport to a degree.
I mean, to your point, I think that they are going to improve this roster this offseason. That doesn't mean I think they're going to win 13 games next year, right? Like, I think they're going to be better on the field. I think they're going to play better. Doesn't mean that they're all of a sudden going to win the Super Bowl and win 13 right. games next season. You'd hope.
They could
You'd
be better on paper and be a 10-win team.
Correct.
That's very reasonable with the schedule.
And by the way, nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that.
So look at their current draft stock. I wanted to get into this part of it, too. So they've got the 29th overall pick because they were in the conference championship. Anyway, 29th overall pick. Second round, 61st. They got Miami's third rounder, okay, the 79th pick in the draft. Then no fourth round pick, a 5, a 6, and 2 sevenths. they're going to maneuver around. They'll do some moves and this and the other thing. Maybe they'll get some a draft pick back somewhere else, or they'll trade up, trade down, acquire more picks, etc. But it's not an overwhelmingly huge draft haul potentially right now on paper. Okay. What's your thought on this? For both the judicious approach that people are talking about, aka take your time, don't rush into things, build it the right way, be smart about it, that first and second round pick is essential. And for the dude, it's time, go all in, same thing, that first and second round pick is essential, right? If you add more to that, if you trade back, whatever. So for everybody, draft picks are really important. So to me, I'd be more hesitant to part with my one and my two in any given deal. I know what it would take to get Myles Garrett, and it would take maybe those things. I'll do it still, but it would hurt. I'm more reticent to part with those two things than I would be with anyone else on the roster. And that includes, by the way, really good young players like Mikey Sanders still, who's on your list. I love that dude a lot. How could you not? But I'd rather part with him than a first or second rounder. Is that crazy to you?
I don't think it is, but I would still lean on the draft picks, but it has to be for guys like Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. And by guys like Myles Garrett, I mean dudes that I think are going to help you more than just 1 year, more than just 2 years, that theoretically could be there for that window I just talked about of the 5 years of Jaden's rookie deal. If they're going to help you for 3 of the 4 years, I'll trade one of those picks. But I'm not trading for someone that I'm saying, you know what, I'm going after a Stephon Diggs is going to be here for 1 year. That's a mistake that I think Houston made, where they traded for him, and now he's a free agent. Now, obviously, some of the injuries and stuff, but they were only going to have him for 1 year. I don't like those sorts of moves in this time frame when you're trading draft picks. But the reason that I would like to hold on to these players is because instead of going through a rookie season, now, all of a sudden, instead of getting rid of Sam Ristill and drafting a guy to replace him, I already have Sam Ristill with a year of experience under his belt, theoretically a year better, right? Mm-hmm. And I want guys that are going to continue to get better. I want to get guys that are going to help me for the duration of the rookie contract, and so it has to be someone like a Garrett of that age group if I'm going to trade him. Otherwise, I don't want to get rid of a young guy that's already had a year or two of development. I'd rather keep that guy.
Now, if all things are equal, I'd rather keep him. I'd rather keep guys that are going to help me, to your point. But if it's a, hey, you have a, let's, again, this is a very down-the-line hypothetical. But if it's a deal with Cleveland, and these aren't real terms, but I'm making them up. You can give us this year's one and this year's two, or this year's one and Mikey Sanders still. I think I'd give him Sanders still.
I'd give up the picks.
Is that crazy to you?
I'd give up the picks. I'd rather keep the guy that I've had a full year.
That you know?
With. Yes. Yeah. I think that's kind of where I would lean. I think that's a good exercise, though, because I think some people would. I think at that point, then maybe you can get a guy that's more talented if you view it that way or something like that. It kind of depends on the draft class, to your point. But I think I would rather keep the guy that I've had for a year, that I already knows the system, is already in part of the culture, has had that experience of playing in the playoffs, playing with this team last year. I'd rather keep that guy than the pick.
Where's the line? So is it if I go this year's one and next year's one, or this year's one and next and Mikey Sanders still?
It probably have to be Sanders still then because of the draft capital.
Right?
If it's a one. Yeah, ones are a little bit different, I think. But if we're going same draft capital as a guy, like Sanders still second round pick in the you're trying to give up, I think then I'm going to go with a player I already have. Unless it's somebody that you don't view as a productive. Like if you were asking me the same question and someone was enamored with Ben Sinnott, you can have Ben Sinnott.
You can have that.
Yeah, but a guy that I've seen productive on the field already, I'm going to keep that guy, value him a little higher.
Yeah. Because again, this isn't to rip Sanders still. You know, just simply talking about this. To me, and maybe this is also an evaluation thing. I don't say I'm lower on him because all he's ever done is what he's asked to do, right? I think that's a will over skill type guy. I think he's tough as nails. He fits their culture. He's not afraid of any kind of contact. I just don't think he's elite. I think he's a solid slot corner. When you look at some of they had a type this year where they drafted all these athletic measurements. I don't have them all in front of me, but it's whether it's a spark score or, you know, all the different things that show how athletic a guy is. Everybody fits that bill except for Sanders still, where they just go, too good of a dude, too tough, too physical, football player. Think Scott McLuhan, you know, in his prime.
Sure. How do you value a slot corner? Because that's something I think has changed. Mm-hmm. If you value
further than Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, if you value the slot corner pretty highly, where maybe he's not the most skilled, maybe he doesn't fit that mold of the long, lanky 4-4 sort of guy, I think he's more valuable as the slot guy, which they're going to have to kick him back in there. He didn't play a lot
of that
this year.
That's what I want,
But I think that's a little more valuable than maybe you're giving it credit for.
Well, okay, yes. What I want is for him to play that role. I don't want him stuck outside.
Sure.
I want to upgrade opposite Lattimore and get down on my old man knees. It's really hard to get down, by the way.
With
it's
your like, knee braces,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's like a groan and a grunt. And then when I'm down there, like they get sore real quick because it's carrying too much weight. And now it's like it's rubbing on the hardwood floor. Maybe it could have a mat or something. And I'm going to pray to whatever you got that Marshawn Lattimore plays well.
Yes.
That what we saw was just a hamstring thing and not the story now. Not that New Orleans got one over on us. I want to upgrade on the outside, and I want Sandristill to be my slot guy. I think he'll be solid there, if not spectacular. Right? I don't think spectacular. I don't think that's in his toolkit. I think he's a really good player who's going to do everything right every time and compete his you-know-what off.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy to find, and I'm not trying to belittle that. I just don't see that high-ceiling player.
Sure.
I don't see him doing in a Super Bowl Cooper DeJean just did, for example.
Sure.
No?
I don't disagree. Like, if you're talking about athleticism and stuff, sure. I think the leadership and everything, it's more the intangibles, right? The leadership always being where he's asked to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that nickel corner in the modern defense is
being
a little bit undervalued by the flexibility it gives you, where he can cover the guy in the slot, which is now, it used to be the slot receiver was just the Julian Edelman.
Mm-hmm.
Now CD Lamb's lining up in the slot. Like,
well, yeah,
big-time dudes are lining up in there.
You could get kicked out of Darius's Madden League for this, but everybody knows, like, you could exploit. I did a little wink there, Darius. I'm all over you today for whatever reason. It's this coming to America thing. You're just catching shrapnel. But everyone who's ever played Madden knows, like, well, the third best corner is usually the inside guy. So I'll motion my star in mm-hmm. there, and now good luck, as you said, good luck covering CeeDee Lamb out of the slot. And everybody's got to be able to do everything now to a degree, right? With the way these offensive coordinators are smartly. You know, motioning guys, stacking guys. You got a banjo this coverage. One guy's got to go in, one guy's got to go out. Well, the guy that goes in might be the great receiver. It might be Jamar
yes.
Chase. You're going to have to deal with everything. And that's an uber valuable position now. I don't want to say it's more valuable than the outside guy on an island, but it's close. It's no longer a 1,000 feet of crap and then the slot guy. It's closer to a 1A.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I view it, right? And
mm-hmm.
that's where I think we're a little bit different. Like, you probably would rather have that second outside corner, right? Is that kind of where you're at?
Given the choice, that's a good question, a really good second corner opposite mm-hmm. Lattimore or a really good slot guy, the same equivalent in the slot, I'd rather have the outside guy. You'd rather have a slot?
I might take the slot.
That's not crazy.
If it's a guy...
Given the modern league, that's not crazy, Tobes.
If it's a guy like Sandristill,
mm-hmm.
where I know I can use him in every facet, he's going to be good in the run game, he's physical. The thing that I think Sandristill's really good at that he doesn't get credit for is when they throw those little screens out there,
he's
reading
those.
That perfectly, yeah. coming up, mm-hmm. laying the wood, either taking out the blocker or getting up to the ball carrier. I think those sorts of things he's really valuable in. Maybe he's not the skilled Cooper DeJean where you could play him literally everywhere and he's
mm-hmm.
just a freak athlete, but I think that's why I would value that more than the pick, just because of I like that position and knowing that I have a guy that's very dependable there and sending him on blitzes and various things. I just think of that Anarumo defense that
mm-hmm.
wasn't this year's Anarumo defense, but
yeah,
previously where
yes.
Mike Hilton was
yeah.
all they ever talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can have that sort of an impact guy like that. And I think for me, that's more valuable than say a mid-second round pick.
I smell what you're cooking. I think it's a good conversation. Let's do a double play. We're going to Beltway Blitz at 4, spin you around what's going on in all things DC sports. Here's a hint. It's not a ton right now this minute, but it's a little bit more preview than it is the current goings-on. We'll do some spring training talk, pitchers and catchers. Mark Zuckerman joins us at 5. But next, double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. In 11 minutes, give you a chance to win those Rod Stewart tickets right here on G&D. Welcome back to the program. Couple reminders for you, a bit of the housekeeping. This show is exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. You heard that music, which means it's time for this. It's time for your double play, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. So usually when we finish saying those things, Darius hits a button and then this sounder plays. So no pickup hoops this week because of the snow. Mm. And here's what's really tough for me is, A, not being able to do it. I love doing it. It's fun to play with this. It's a good group of guys. And somehow, Tobes, I'm as sore as if we did play. This aging thing, I used to mock, everybody about it at all times. Like, I'd watch my dad shuffle around in the morning before coffee, and I was like, I'll never be like that. I'm worse than that. I'd watch him do something that wasn't that hard or strenuous and grab his back or sit there and wince, go, like rub his knee or his leg or some part. And I go, I'll never be like that. I'm worse. So now I get why every ad during all these games and all these different things I watched over the years was like, hey, men, you old, you know what? You worthless zilch that's tired all the time. Here's something that'll make you feel better. I never understood, and now I'm there. I'm in it. And I know it's not going, all I'm trying to do is stem the tide. It's not getting better, but it is getting worse.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that time. I'm just 26, and I'm running into various things where I'm like, wow, I feel old. Wow, like my back has been bothering me, which probably isn't great for 26 years old, but my back's been bothering me for months, and I can't get over it. It's like that constant feeling of needing to crack.
Yeah, always.
Always just a little bit sore or like a tension headache, like those things. It never seems to go away. It's so annoying.
And I used to make so much fun of like whatever ad it was where it's like, do you have low this? Do you have medium that? Do you have below averages? And I'm like, and now I'm going, really, Frank Thomas, you're on to something.
Now you're going, yes, yes, yes.
Hold on. Can you guys be quiet? Doug Flutie's talking about something. Let me see what this is for.
Yeah, they do.
Shut up, Danny. We're having a conversation, you jackass. Why do you do that?
That's absolutely ludicrous.
I know, Coach. He just blurts, like, Toby and I are talking, and this selfish, red-cheeked idiot's got to make it about himself.
Danny Routier?
That's me, Chuck. And I'm so frustrated. You know what? I can't say anything else. I'm frustrated that I can't say anything else. I'm sure I just gave it away. And if it's someone, a representative of this company, whatever. I'm screwed up. Okay, forget that. Forget all that. I'm sorry. See, Danny threw me off. And then Chuck chimed in.
Yep.
All right. Where was I? Oh, yeah. All I'm saying is I get it. I get why now people keep these, whatever these companies are, and I'm not knocking anybody down. In business, I'm desperate to feel okay. That's all this is. That's my only rant. I've done very little, and I feel awful. That's my point. Like, everything is sore. I told you, like, I strained my hamstring today just trying to shovel.
Just shoveling snow.
Just so I can get to work, dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Regular tasks that you have to do.
Regular tasks.
It's one thing if it's voluntary, but it's something that you have to do, and now you're feeling it all day. Yeah. I'm not looking forward to it, Danny. I'm not looking forward to it.
I mean, Father Time's beyond undefeated. He's undefeated with nothing but quad one wins. You know what I mean? Like, he's
not new UNC this year.
Yeah, he's undefeated with the greatest point margin of all time.
Yeah.
Like, you might get him once. You might get him for a quarter. He's winning, dude. That guy's unbelievable.
It makes it crazy, too, when you think about some of these guys playing into their 40s in the National Football League.
Well, I just saw this also. Justin Verlander's playing catch at spring training for the Giants.
Yeah, it's insane.
He's throwing 99 at my age.
Yeah, it's insane, too, that, like, we see guys do it all the time now, right? Tom Brady made it popular. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is still probably going to play another year. Russell Wilson, these guys. It's crazy when you look back at some of the dudes that were playing back in the day. Right? Like, you get pictures of like George Blanda and dudes like that that are just rolling into their 40s doing it. You're like, how did they do it when their pads were essentially styrofoam or what, like taped inside of a metal case?
On your
like,
head. Yeah.
I don't understand how in the world they were doing it. Like, those pads weren't doing anything. Let's be real.
No. Like, just made it harder to move around.
Yeah, just made it a little bit more difficult and maybe saved you a little bit of pain. A little bit. It's insane.
It really is. I mean, and then, and not even, this is actually like, stick aside, not to joke about it. Remember, Charles Mann was on with us a few weeks ago,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And he was like, yeah, just sort of casually. Like, I apologize if I got it wrong. I think he's like, yeah, I've had 13 surgeries. What?
Mm-hmm.
What that means is they lay you down on the hospital bed, they knock you out, and they take some equipment and cut you open and try to poke around in there and see if they can fix something. Like, that's a major deal. People say surgery like I changed my underwear. Like, I got a new hat. Like, surgery, dude. Like, that's a lot of surgery.
I mean, I just saw something. Will Blackman, this was from a couple of 6 days ago, February 6th. He was getting an injection in his knee so he doesn't have to get knee replacement in his 40s. He said he's had 10 surgeries in 12 years. I mean, you just feel...
Come on.
It's crazy how much a toll it takes on these guys. I think it's something that sometimes we forget about. Like, it's wild how hard it is to get through a football season. Even basketball, baseball, just to get through a professional season is incredible.
Yeah,
it's just incredible.
And then that much more, you've got guys like LeBron, who are 40 years old, going, well, you know, 26, 10, and 7 every night.
You wonder how they're spending 7-8 figures on their bodies.
Yeah.
And then you start, oh, it makes sense.
Oh, now I get it.
I get it.
Right. But I can't remember who the young player was doing one of, like, you may have seen some of, there are these NBA-related podcasts. Have you guys
really?
Seen any of these?
Okay.
Yeah. They're new.
Yeah.
And there's, I think it's like 1 or 2 trillion of them.
Mm.
But it was a young player who was like talking about LeBron and his work ethic, where he was like, I tried to beat him to the arena and I never did. Like, that's the deal, where you don't, it doesn't make sense at 25. No one, come on, dude, I don't care. I'll go out the night before. It doesn't matter. You still do what he's doing at that age, where you're in your hyperbaric chambers, you get your, you know, a billion and one massage roller things and this nutrition. Like, Tom Brady didn't eat a sugar for 20 years or whatever. He's like, I can't have the tomato because there's too much inflammation.
My ice cream is made from avocado. Yeah. Gross.
Is it though, dog? Anyway, I'm old. And that was the point of the dude's story. Beltway Blitz is next, 6 minutes away. Spin around what's going on in DC sports. And we got some shoveling, tales of the shovel. We'll do that in the 4 o'clock hour, but we'll spin you around. What's going on in Washington, D.C.? We'll do that in 6 minutes here on The Fan.